You're listening to 95.7 KQWC, Webster City's Classic Hits. Now it's time to join sports director Quinn Douglas and former ESPN and NFL media executive John Marvel for Lynx Huddle at Morning Glory Coffee in downtown Webster City.
And good morning from Morning Glory Coffee in downtown Webster City. Sports Director Quinn Douglas here for our Lynx Huddle program, presented by Lynx Huddle here on 95.7 KQWC. Apologize, I guess you can call us for a false start. Didn't have something quite set up correctly, but we are good to go. I guess you can call us for a false start here on this Friday morning as Webster City football, they are back tonight at home. It's their home finale for the regular season. Senior night as well, always a lot of emotions on senior night, especially when you factor in you're playing a team Webster City very familiar with in the Algona Bulldogs. That game coming up tonight at 7 o'clock here over on AM 1570 KZWC here on this Friday night at Lynx Field. Webster City coming in 2-5 as they are fresh off of a game, a 28-6 loss at the hands of Bishop Elam. But folks, make no mistake, the score may have said 28-6. This game was a lot closer than 28-6 as Webster City was right there, quite frankly, with a top three team in Class 3A in a lot of different aspects as we take a look at our takeaways from week four. And, Webster City allowed 250 yards of total offense in general, for a game that was 28-6. But you take away the four scoring plays from Bishop Heelan, this defense only allowed 105 yards of total offense. Now, scoring plays, there was a 40-yard touchdown, there was a 50-yard touchdown, and then a couple of touchdowns inside the 20-yard line. But this was a game that was really, this game, four plays went a long ways in this game. Otherwise, this defense was fantastic against a very talented Bishop Heelan team on Friday night. And the number two takeaway I had on this is more on the offensive side of the football. The offensive line only allowed two tackles for losses against a very, very good Bishop Heelan defense, arguably the best defense that this Webster City team is going to see, loaded with talent. Guys, we talked a lot about Kaysen Thomas and the talent he has, the Iowa football commit. He was only limited to 2.5 tackles last week in that game against Webster City. So Webster City was able to at least prevent tackles for loss for the most part, but the offense was able to grind out yardage as well, although I'm sure Coach Howard, the offensive coordinator, would definitely have liked to have had maybe some more yardage per carry. Webster City only averaged 2.9 yards per carry, but at the same time, the offense did a good job not allowing losses, especially in early downs on first and second down, and in general, they did a good job of holding losses to a minimum. But like I said, this was a game, this was a lot closer than what the final score indicated at 28-6, and that was, it was only 28-6 at the fact that, Heelan scored with about just over a minute left in that ballgame to make it 28-6, so. And Webster City, I thought, did a fantastic job battling with a team that could very well find themselves in the Unidome by the time we get to late November in the Crusaders from Bishop Heelan. And, of course, we are live here at Morning Glory Coffee in downtown Webster City. We are live football Fridays throughout the regular season here for talking Webster City football with the Webster City football coach, Andy Brim, 8:30 to 8:50. Come on out and join us and get some made-to-order breakfast, get some coffee, get some beverages, morning beverages of all kinds here at Morning Glory Coffee in downtown Webster City. We'll bring in Webster City football coach Andy Brim. And coach, good morning. And tell you what, it's looking like it's going to be a pretty darn nice night for football after all.
Yeah, we've really lucked out on the weather this year. We've had a lot of, last year too, we've had a couple good years of weather. So not a lot of rain to speak of, not a lot of cold nights. So makes it a little bit more enjoyable for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know rain was in the forecast. It's looking like that's starting to taper off more and more, definitely throughout the listening area. And I mean, I don't know about when the further east you go, but at least here in north central Iowa, I think the forecast is looking pretty promising tonight for high school football. But we'll touch on last week's game. And, it was one of the takeaways I had right off the top. Your defense, really outside of four plays was fantastic, only allowing just over 100 yards of total offense. And, when you break that down and you look at it, and you're going through practice the next week, is that maybe a selling point to your defense? Like, hey, this is how close we are to being a really, really good defense. And maybe it feels like your defense is really starting to play their best ball here towards the end of the season.
Oh, yeah, I'd like to think so. The way that we play and the style of defense that we play, there is potential to give up big plays. We talked about that last week, and, a key to things is limiting those big plays. And you hit the nail on the head. It comes down to just a few plays they had. two big passes for touchdowns, and then they had another big pass that set up their other touchdown. And then, you know, and I think you mentioned earlier when we started, you know, the last touchdown with just over a minute left, you know, we'd gone for it deep in our own territory. It was 4th and 11. I think we tried a fake punt there and gave them the ball back, you know, inside the red zone. So, yeah, if we can take away those big plays, then the rest of the time, you know, we do pretty good. I thought that we did a good job against the run. They got the Thomas kid, who's supposed to be one of the premier backs in the state. You know, we limited him to just 44 yards on the ground. So, and they had another guy that played tailback too, and we held him in check also. So,
and from the offensive side of the football, I mentioned that the offense did a good job making sure they weren't getting tackled behind the line of scrimmage. Only two TFLs on Friday night, but at the same time, you know, while that was a positive, only averaging just under 3 yards a carry, I'm sure that the offense would like to have more success on the ground. So it's a little bit of an in between, if you will, for the offense. But just, and obviously, we talked about how talented that Heelan defense is, Kaysen Thomas, and there were some other guys on that Heelan defense I thought stepped up and played really well on Friday night. When you look at the offense and where they were on Friday night, what did you see offensively from that unit?
Yeah, I mean, I thought they played well. The offensive line continues to get better. Heelan's defensive front, especially their interior three, were very, very good, very physical, strong kids, and we had our hands full inside all night. So, you know, that limits, you know, where we try to get 3.5 to 4.5 yards of carry, and all of a sudden that ends up being 3, and that's a big difference when that's your brand of football. So we came out, I thought, really good in the third quarter. We had a huge third quarter. We had an 18-play drive, and we didn't come up with any points there. So we've got to be able to finish when we get those opportunities. Obviously, that's what's going to help us to be successful, is to have those long drives and being able to sustain those.
As, of course, shifting our focus to tonight with Algona coming to town. Senior night, obviously, a lot of emotions go into that. You know, final game at Lynx Field for a lot of seniors in the regular season, as well as senior class that has really, I think, done a fantastic job this season. And first, looking at this Algona team, obviously, a lot of key players back from last year in a game where you guys were right in it, right to the very end. It took a late comeback from Algona to come away with the victory at Algona last year. And when you look at, you know, Algona this year, first up from the offensive side of the football as it pertains to your defense, what stands out to you about this Algona football team?
Well, they're really balanced, and they've got a lot of weapons, just like everybody else that we've played. So, I mean, we're going to have to play good team defense. We've got to rely on each other to do our jobs, and got to make sure that our eyes are in the right spot and read our keys, and then we've got to be able to tackle well, especially with the athletes that they have out on the perimeter. We've got to be able to come up and tackle and get 7, 8, 9 hats to the ball.
And at least from the offensive perspective against the Algona defense, you know, some newer faces, but at the same time, some faces that have been a part of that defense for the last couple of years and have been a big key to Algona's success. Well, what do you see from this Algona defense going up against your offense?
Yeah, well, I think they're going to try to move around a little bit, which always presents us challenges. But, you know, really, if we focus on us and just do what we want to do up front, then that should take care of itself. So we've got to be extremely physical again, and I think we are one of the most physical teams in the state. So we wanted to control the line of scrimmage and control the game that way.
And I do want to talk about a little bit of our player of the game last week, Grant Ahrens, who had another good game defensively. I know we talked about him early in the year and the start he had to the year, and he's really emerged as one of your premier defensive players here throughout the season at that, you know, stand up outside linebacker or rush edge type spot that your defense has. And just throughout the year, throughout his first year as a starter, just what is the growth that you've seen from Grant Ahrens, even from the start of the year to where we are now, getting to the end of the regular season?
Well, I think Grant's just like the rest of the kids. I mean, he gets a little bit better every day in practice, gets a little bit better each week, you know, and he's able to have some success on the defensive side there because the other guys do what they're supposed to do. So, I mean, really, it's team defense, especially on the defensive side, and Grant's a two-way starter too. And, you know, for your first time starting and to play the caliber of football that we're playing, you know, that's a tough ask for a kid. But we've got several of those kids that really they play really hard every night. I'm really proud of the effort and how positive their attitude has been.
And obviously tonight being senior night, there's a lot of emotions that go into that. And just, you know, for people that may not be aware or have an idea, just how do your staff and your program handle senior night in terms of the pregame festivities and then going into playing the game? Because I know sometimes that can sometimes throw players off of their rhythm just a little bit, just with that added time to honor the seniors, so on and so forth.
Yeah, they just got to stay focused. Mm-hmm. Right or wrong, I told the kids last night, if that's something that's going to distract you from the game, then we're maybe not as good of a football team as I think we are. We spend a lot of time in our program just talking about being mentally prepared as well as physically prepared, and there's a lot of mental that goes into the game, and as far especially in your training and things like that, and being disciplined. So I don't have any doubts that our kids are going to be focused when it's time to kick off. I mean, they're going to be ready to go. So, I mean, it's a great group of seniors. They've done a great job. I can't say enough about how positive they've been. You know, I say it over and over, but there's a lot of kids that if they would have gone through what we've gone through and are sitting where we're at playing mm-hmm. the schedule that we are, that they probably would have given up. And I've never once got a sense that anybody's ever given up on even a single play. So they continue to play hard every week. We're going to get Bo Nornberg back tonight.
Awesome.
So he's missed most of the season, but he's got the go-ahead from his doctors to come back and play tonight. So that'll be exciting to get him back out on the field and excited that he gets that opportunity for his senior year.
Yeah, no question. That's a big boost to the offensive line and defensive line as well, getting Bo Nornberg back. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us. Always a pleasure to talk to you, and good luck tonight against Algona.
Yep, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Yep, that was Andy Brim, the head football coach of the Webster City Lynx here on our Lynx Huddle program presented by Morning Glory Coffee in downtown Webster City. Again, we are here until 8:50 on Friday mornings, 8:30, 8:50. Of course, next week we have our final program of the regular season. You know, result-dependent Webster City. I am not counting the Lynx out of the playoffs just yet. Obviously, take care of business tonight against Algona, and who knows what could happen in Week 9, especially with where Webster City sitting in the RPI, and obviously that strength of schedule is really helping Webster City out. We'll talk a little bit more about that coming up here in just a little bit. But again, come on out again next Friday, our final regular season edition of Lynx Huddle presented by Morning Glory Coffee in downtown Webster City. Of course, Webster City taking on Algona tonight. Algona coming in with a record of 3-4. They are 0-3 in district play. And trust me, folks, that's a deceiving 0-3. Algona, they've lost those three games by a combined total of 8 points. It has been it's very close to being a 3-0 Algona team in district play, and things are looking a lot different for the Bulldogs. But that you can make that argument, I think, for a lot of the teams in this Class 3A District 1. Very, very easily these games could have gone the other way. And like we talked about a couple weeks ago, there is not a single team in this district that I think can feel safe any given night coming away with a victory. I mean, these are six teams in this district that very well could go in. And like I said, number one could go into number six, or number six can go into number one and win. Number one could go into number six and lose. Number two can go to number five, so on and so forth. This is a district that is very competitive, and you might be hard-pressed to find a more competitive district in all in Class 3A. Keys to tonight's ball game with Algona. Number one is Nathan Mansky, the starting quarterback for Algona. Force him into mistakes, and that is applying pressure in the front. Webster City did, I think, a fantastic job of that for three and a half quarters a year ago up in Algona. It's going to be a factor of whether or not Webster City can make that 4 quarters of applying pressure, not allowing that Algona passing game or rushing attack. Mansky is a key part of that rushing attack to getting in a rhythm. Number two, and this has been kind of a theme all year for Webster City, winning on first and second down. We talked about last week the offensive line of the offense, I think, did a remarkable job against a very talented Bishop Heelan front seven of moving the football. You heard Coach Brent talk about it. They put together an 18-play drive. Unfortunately, couldn't come away with any points on that. But I know Webster City, they're always looking to take the next step. So that is stepping up, getting 3, 4, maybe even 5 yards on first and second down and winning those downs to make sure they're in a third and manageable or even a fourth and very short where they can feel comfortable going for it in those close ball games. So looking for the offensive line to take another step, start plowing the way, averaging, allowing the offensive, the running backs to get 3, 4, 5 yards a carry. And number three, and this was before we looked at the weather and saw that the rain might hold off, but if the rain does become a factor, you never know, it's Iowa, weather can change at the drop of a hat in this state. Use it to your advantage. It may not be like what it was 2 years ago, Algona came to Webster City. It was an absolute monsoon throughout much of that ball game, and Webster City won 47-0. I'm not expecting that to be the case, at least weather-wise, on Friday or coming up Friday night, and have that kind of effect on the game. But if the weather does come into play, we do wind up getting some rainfall. Use that to your advantage. Obviously, the single wing definitely benefits from games, poor weather games like that, in terms of being a ground-heavy attack and running the football. So if that does become the case, use the weather to your advantage and find ways to use the weather to your advantage while running the football. Make this, you know, three yards in a clump of mud as opposed to 3 yards in a cloud of dust. And we were talking about the playoff picture as it stands right now for Class 3A District 1. As of right now, as we'll pull up the RPI from Class 3A District 1. Right now, 3A District 1 would have three teams in the postseason as it stands right now. Bishop Helam would be the number one seed. Humboldt would be the two as it stands right now. They have a higher point differential than Sioux Center. Sioux Center, 6-1. They're the number five team in the RPI, but they are currently sitting at third in the district. Webster City is actually sitting at fourth in district play at 2-5, 1-2 overall. They actually have a higher point differential than MLC Floyd Valley, who is currently at 1-2. They have a minus 10 point differential. Algona, they're sitting at the bottom of the district, although, like I said, it is deceiving as they are 0-3 in district play, but they have those three district losses by a combined 8 points. And folks, if you're wondering, Webster City's RPI sitting at 22, which is especially impressive for a team that is 2-5. But you factor in, we talked about last week, that win-loss record for Webster City opponents, 73%. That is carrying a lot of the water for Webster City's RPI, and deservedly so with the schedule that Webster City has played. And like I talked about, Webster City, you get a win tonight against Algona, that sets up a very interesting matchup in week 9 against up in Orange City at MOC Floyd Valley, where potentially, if the chips fall right, could result in a possible game where it could be a win and get in scenario for the postseason. So very interested to see what happens coming up in the next couple weeks for out of Class 3A District 1 for the postseason, especially involving Webster City's possible postseason prospects. But again, starts tonight, coming away with the victory tonight against Algona. Again, that's coming up tonight, 7 o'clock, over on AM 1570 KZWC, Webster City and Algona for senior night at Link Spiel. That's going to do it for our Links Huddle program here for our week 8 edition of Links Huddle, presented by Morning Glory Coffee in Webster City. Again, you folks are invited to come on out and join us for our week 9 program beginning at 8:30 next Friday morning right here on 95.7 KQWC and right here at Morning Glory Coffee in downtown Webster City. As we'll send it back to regular programming here, this is Links Huddle, presented by Morning Glory Coffee here on 95.7 KQWC.